Ever know the definition of a word, but you couldn't really define it? Say, no, I don't know what you're talking about. All right. Well, how would you define the word light?
I asked people at my house. The answer I got was not dark. True. Doesn't really give us the definition. What is light? Light is the matter which makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing, but the particles of which are invisible. Light allows me to see other things, but I don't see the light. Isn't that interesting? Do you get that? Brother Jabisky and I are tracking. He's like, yeah, that's good. He's writing that down. It is now generally believed that light is a fluid of real matter, existing independent of other substances, with properties peculiar to itself. Its velocity is astonishing. It passes through space at nearly 12 million miles in a minute. Light, when decomposed, is found to consist of different rays, colored as red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. The sun is the principal source of light in the solar system, but light is also emitted from bodies ignited or in combustion, and is reflected from enlightened bodies such as the moon. See, the moon doesn't have its own light, but the moon is a source of light because it reflects the light of another. It is usually united with heat, but it exists also independent of it. Light is awesome. Psalm 119 tonight. I like that you don't see it, but it helps you see. Only God could make light. Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's pray and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and thank you how it lights and guides our path. Lord, I pray that we would be open to its leading. And Lord, that what it is that you want to speak to us about tonight, Lord, we'd be sensitive and tender to it. Lord, help us to put aside our self-righteousness and help us to put aside our pride and come to you humbly tonight. Lord, you can change us and help us and strengthen us. Lord, we need you more than ever before. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Light, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I actually have a light bulb here. We're slowly, at our house, switching over from these kind of lights here. These are more of like a yellow light to the LED lights. Anybody have LED lights at your house? Man, those are nice. It is white. It is bright light. And a fraction of the amount of power, but exponentially more expensive per bulb. So I'm not sure if I'm really saving anything. But I like when I open up the package and it says 12 years on the outside. I'm like, well, all I have to do is buy it once every 12 years. That's all right. Not able to withstand baseballs, I tell you, but still good. Light. Bible tells us, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, light works independent of what is showing, meaning it doesn't care about influence. And the Word of God kind of is like that, and it's, I feel like light is its own authority, subject to God Himself. But the Word of God is its own authority, does not care what you think about it. It simply reveals. It simply points out and guides and leads and directs the Word of God. Tonight we're not talking about the light of the world, but tonight's message is called the light of the Word. And the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We've all maybe had to walk through the woods camping or whatever. And what do? We bring a flashlight. Why? Because it's scary and bears are out there. So we shine that light on our path, making sure that whatever it is that we're going to walk into or walk through, we're aware of it. We want to be aware that we not fall into a trap. We want to be aware that there's no danger ahead, that we don't step off a cliff or step into a puddle or something of that sort. Or snakes. Sorry. She said, I already said it. I said it before you could say no. Giant man-eating snakes. We're afraid of those. We don't like them. We don't even like to talk about them. And we won't. We'll stop right there. So we use lights. Lights to guide our path through walking in the darkness. And you know, the Word of God is a lamp unto us. As we wander through darkness, what do? We use the light of the Word of God to light our path, to guide us and direct us, to show us the path in which we should travel. And the Word of God is so powerful that it can do that. I was talking to a young person just this past weekend. "Pastor Russo, what am I to do with my life? I don't know. Is it normal?" "Well, what is the last thing he asked you to do?" "Well, he told me to do this." "Are you doing that?" "Yes." "Okay, maybe when you're done with that, he'll tell you what's next." Because a lot of times, he doesn't show us around the corner. And it feels like a lot of my steps are around corners. A lot of blind faith. But he does allow us to see where we're taking a step to. And that's what he does. He lights each and every step. In the same chapter, look at verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth..." what? Light. "It giveth unto" who? The simple. Don't have to be a genius to understand the Word of God. It's actually, the more simple you are, the better it is. Because you just trust it. You just believe it. You just know, hey, I don't have to understand it all. I just know that whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. "And the entrance of thy words giveth light." Light. We all have these in our house. How many of you left a light on when you left? Anybody do that? Leave a light on. Why? Because no one wants to come home to a dark house. We have a porch light on or sometimes we forget to turn it on, but when we leave at night, I try to remember to turn that porch light on. Why? Because I don't want to have to go up the stairs. One time we came home, and what was on our front porch? Where's Sam? All right, remember? What was it? Possum. Man-eating possum. It was huge. And then I called Mr. Seatman. I said, "What do I do?" He's like, "Shoot it." "But it's guarding my door." So now we leave a light on to see what it is that's guarding our door. Why? Because I want to know what I'm getting into. Now, foolish us, sometimes we know what we're getting into. It lights our path and we still choose to go down the wrong way. That's shame on us. The Word of God has been a light to us and revealed things to us and showed us those things. But as a Christian, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it tells us to walk by faith. And remembering back to the definition of light, light is an independent agent. And so is faith. Faith cares not about the circumstances around it, but simply getting you to where you ought to be. Can I tell you here tonight, the steps of faith don't always make sense. But backed with the Word of God and the light of the Word, well, now I'm on the right path. Over this past summer, we had the opportunity to be able to go to Green Lake. And Green Lake has it's a state park, and they give you a map. And you would think, with the amount of money that they spend on making maps, that the trails would be a little better marked. All of a sudden, we're walking through campsites, it felt like. Maybe we deviated from the map a little bit. I don't know. But all of a sudden, you see the mark of where you're supposed to be, the indicators along the path, and, oh, that's reassuring. Yellow diamond, yes. And then you look ahead, oh, there's the next one, and we just go from tree to tree, mark to mark. And a lot of times, that's how our life is in the Lord. All right, God, I got to here, now what? Well, I need you to get to that next mark, walking by faith. And he takes us step by step, mark by mark, lighted step by lighted step. Joe, can you help me out? Can you help me? Yes or no? Okay, great. I want you to go in the back. I want you to turn out the lights. Now listen, everybody. It's going to get dark in here. It's going to get very dark in here, but don't worry, I have a light. Okay, Joe, can you turn out the lights? See? I have a light. Hold on, wait, I'm going to step down the stairs, hold on. Yeah. All right, I'm good. I have a light with no power. Joe, turn on the light. What good is a light bulb with no power? What good is this book with no power? Do it again, Joe. Now the light does what it was designed to do. See, the Word of God is a powerful thing, but with no power behind it, what good is it? A light bulb is a wonderful thing when given power. We sing the song, Hide It Under a Bush. Ooh, now it's even brighter. Turn on the lights, Joe. You can sit down, buddy. I won't need you again. We carry this book around day after day. And it's very capable of leading us and guiding us if we just gave it some power. Say, the power's in the Word of God. Mark chapter 11 tonight. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. John chapter 15. John 15 and verse 7. If you abide in me and my words, there's the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So many times we have the Word of God, but we're missing something. We're missing the power. So how do I get the power? Well, these two verses are pretty convincing to me through prayer. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." The power in prayer. Can I submit to you tonight that the Word of God mingled and intertwined with prayer is what is necessary for you to be led directly and correctly? Is it possible that to handle the Word of God and still not get direction? I dare say it is. We approach the Word of God in wrestling the Scriptures, looking for a verse to support what it is that we want to do, rather than mingled with prayer and openness before us and God, honest, and allowing Him to use the Word of God and talk to us, and then we talk to Him. We're like the light bulb unplugged. We carry it around, but it's not guiding us. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I used to teach high school here at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. Taught for a number of years. Loved it. Some of the greatest years of my life were spent in that classroom. And I would ask the students every now and then, what's easier, reading your Bible or praying? Reading your Bible. I could read chapters before I spend 5 minutes in prayer. Why is that? Because it's possible to carry around a light bulb with no power. It's possible to go through the Christian life with no power. Yes, the Word of God tucked underneath our arm, but is truly God anywhere near us? Is the Holy Spirit of God leading us and guiding us? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." What role does the Holy Ghost play in your life? Preacher, we're not charismatic here. We're Bible believers. Yeah, but if we're Christians, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And the Word of God never contradicts the will of God. And the Word of God never contradicts the power of God. They go hand in hand. The Word of God never contradicts the peace of God. So as we take our steps in faith, is it the Holy Spirit of God that's leading us, reaffirming and strengthening us through the Word of God? Or am I just doing what it is that I want to do? Carrying a light bulb unplugged. Still walking in darkness. Because God's nowhere near that leading. We've looked at these verses before, but in John chapter 15 and verse 26, the Holy Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Truth. John 15:26. We'll turn there. I just want to try and help you out tonight. That just one half of the equation without the other is failed. Say, prove it. I can take the light bulb out of it again and unplug it. John chapter 15 and verse 26 says, "And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Chapter 16 and verse 13 says this, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, look at what it'll do. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit of God will not contradict the Word of God, but He will certainly enlighten it. He is the teacher of truth. And we're wrong to think that I can just approach the Word of God without prayer or the Holy Spirit being anywhere near me and saying, I can decipher what this means and I know what God wants for my life. Yeah. We have to equally blend the Word of God with prayer. And if we don't, we're hurting ourselves. It's dangerous. We may trip and fall. Why? Because the Spirit of truth is the revealer of truth. Jesus Christ, our perfect example. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Point number one tonight was the Bible is our light. Point number two, the power to the light. Number one, through prayer. Number two, through the Holy Spirit. And lastly, as we look at our application, John chapter 8. In verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now here we have this incredible application of all of this. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says this. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the perfect blend of God's power in God's Word. He says, I'm the light of the world. Now, as I follow Christ, as I walk in faith, as I seek God with an honest and open heart and open mind, as He leads me and guides me, and I'm honest and open with Him of God, clean me, reveal to me where I am falling short. Reveal to me where I have sin in my life. And I listen to that as He uses that light to reveal in my life. Now I'm going in the right direction. Now I'm being led. And I'll walk not in darkness. Jesus Christ being the perfect example. Then we look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 tonight. In verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Wait, I thought Jesus Christ was the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why? Because we, like the moon, reflect the light of Christ. So when I put all of this together, when I look at the very definition of light, independent agent, can't see it, but it reveals things, I look at how that is the Word of God. Powerful. Powerful. Almost, Brother Parent, maybe you would agree, almost, light is almost unexplainable. The more you study it and the more... There's some things that they're just, I don't know. Almost kind of like the Word of God. Quick and powerful. Almost unexplainable. How does God do that time after time? Meets me right where I'm at. Here I am, broken individual. Don't know what's going on. And I come to God and I say, God, I need you to show me something today. And in my Bible reading that day, very answer to my question. How is that possible? It's the same way that light travels millions of miles in a minute. I don't know. It just happens. God makes it happen. And that light in itself, how does light get to us? Well, it either reflects or we have direct light. Jesus Christ being the direct light. Me being the reflection of the direct light to others. So Jesus Christ being the light of the world shines on me and then I reflect it. And I take the Word of God and I take my prayer life and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and I'm led and I follow Christ. Now I'm a light in a dark place. Now others can see Christ in me. Because I'm reflecting the true light. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As we then make application and take the perfect balance between the Word of God, prayer, and the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we turn on our light, and we reflect the light of Christ, God is glorified. Because others see that light and are drawn to Christ. It's a tremendous lesson. It's a tremendous thought. But I dare say too many of us are content with the light without power. Because that takes work. That's going to cost something. How many of your parents, I remember as a kid, walking around the house and getting scolded because I left lights on. Anybody get scolded for leaving lights on? Sure. Is that word scolded used anymore? Scolded? You've heard it, right? Okay. The other day, the kids were at the table, and I'm like, oh, the hall light is on. I get up to go turn off the hall light. The boys' light is on. Inside the boys' room, there's a light over one of their beds and the closet's on. How? So I go turn those off. I walk down the hall. The bathroom light's on. Both bathroom lights are on and the fan is blowing. Turn all that off. I get to the girls' room. Their light is on and their closet. I'm like, every light in the union's on. Every single one. Dad, come on. Dinner's getting cold. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to keep Mr. RG and his kids out of Harvard. That's what I'm looking to do. Because running light costs something. Power is going to cost us something. There's an exchange. I'm going to have to give something up. I'm going to have to invest in it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some sacrifice like we talked about this morning. But is the result worth it? That your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If that's the result of sacrifice and effort and work, that God is glorified, then there's no cost too great. It's worth every bit of investment. So here we are. 2018, 2 days away from 2019. Can I ask you for a renewed commitment to prayer and Bible reading? Say, I'm going to read through my Bible this year. Tremendous. I know some of our young people do it every year. Good job. Can I ask that you'd equally invest in prayer? That we would not be carrying around a candle with no power. Because if the Spirit of truth is not speaking to us, how could we possibly know how to handle the light? Pray for sight. Pray for an upward sight to see God in His holiness. Pray for an inward sight to see ourselves and our need for cleansing in the power of God. And pray for an outward sight to see the world perishing and in need of a Savior. See, the Word of God is that direct light that points us in a direction. And it shows us things. It helps us see God in His holiness. It helps us see us in our depravity. And it helps us see the world in its need. I don't want to look over there. My sister and probably Cody, they like to look at surgery things. They think it's neat. Mm-mm. I don't like that. Hey, look at this. No. No. I don't want to look that way. And sometimes I feel like that with the Word of God. Hey, look inside. I don't want to look inside. Look out over the... I don't want to look out there. I want to look right here. God says, look up. Look at me. Look into my holiness. I don't want to. Look up. Look in. Look out. I don't know how long we've been preaching. Maybe a half hour? 30 minutes. 105 people die a minute in this world. That's just about 2 a second. 151,600 people die every single day in this world. 6,316 people an hour. 105 a minute. Just about 2 a second. Every second, 2 people are dying. Lord, help me to see that. Mr. Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said if he could, with his final test of his recruits, that they would be hung over hell for 24 hours to just watch. He said it would forever change their sight. What is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God showing you? Are we consumed with seeing that the things that God sees? Or are we consumed with looking at what I want to look at? Light. Independent. A revealer. Jesus Christ being the light of the world. Me being the light of the world. Let's all stand. Not going to say much about invitation. Whatever it is that the Lord maybe touched your heart about. Maybe it's a commitment to the Word of God. Maybe it's a deeper commitment to prayer. Maybe it was that last concluding thought that I would have an outward look. In the last 5 minutes of our closing point, 500 more people have stepped into eternity. What am I doing about that? Today, in 24 hours, 151,600 people have died. So maybe some of them are safe. True. I'm concerned about the ones that are not. We ought to be concerned about the ones that are not. What are we doing about that? Is the problem that we can't see it? Do we have no outward look? No outward sight? Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. And Lord, whatever it is that you've touched hearts about tonight, I pray that you bless the invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here tonight? Would you come and maybe make a commitment towards prayer? Maybe make a deeper commitment towards the Word of God? How about the lost? Think every minute 100 people step into eternity. What am I doing to impact that?